Well, we are in a series, believe it or not, we're in our third month. You know, just seemed like I just told you, hey, we're going to do a four-month series. Well, we're in month three and almost done with that part of it, and we're talking about worship. Everybody say worship. We started out talking about prayer and then God's Word, and now we're in worship. And today I want to talk a little bit about how to worship. Pretty important for us. We have to be careful in our life as church attenders, as Christians, that we don't just go through our week, go through our life, and they'll say, oh, it's church day, it's Sunday, and we go to church, and oh, it's time to worship, and we worship. And thank you for doing that. You're a worshiping church, a worshiping people. But I just want to caution all of us that don't let this be the only time you do that. You know, and that's kind of easy to do. You know, because then as soon as you get out of here, you got stuff and things and fun and not fun and, you know, all of the life that's going on. And you can just get caught up in that until next time you come around. So it's one thing to worship. It's another thing to be a worshiper. And that's what we truly want to become, is to be a worshiper. God is worthy of our praise and worship. And it is to God and it is for God, but it helps us. It helps us when we get that focus, when we come back into the presence of God and just are reminded of how great God is. And can you imagine if all of us truly became worshipers? I mean, that we were worshipers. I mean, throughout the week. Let me try to explain. I play golf. But I'm not really a golfer. Do you kind of get that? I mean, I got the stuff, and every now and then I go and give it my best, and parts of it go awesome, and then parts don't. But I'm not really, you know, don't bet on me, okay? But what if, you know, forget about golf for a second. What if all of us throughout the week, it was just part of our life that we worship God, that we worship God. And I'm going to show you a number of ways that we do that throughout the week. Next week, we'll talk about it some more as well. But what would happen if we all came together and we were already primed? You know, because part of our time together is kind of getting you primed up again to get going again. But I just say, it would be a holy wow, because God inhabits the praises of his people. I just want to encourage you, don't just worship. Let's be worshipers of the living God. Amen. Worship is all about focus. Focus. If you were to say, just give me one word that kind of would help me to understand what worship is, I think that would be a good effort right there, is the word focus. And if you, without focus, I'm pretty sure it's not worship. No matter what form of worship or avenue you took to try to praise and worship God, if you're not focused, it's not, you know, it's just not really going to land. It's not going to really benefit you, and I don't know that it connects. And so it's important for us to understand this. Now, if today when we talk about how to praise and worship, then the what of this, I'm not playing with words, I'm trying to emphasize something, the what. What are we doing? Praise and worship. Then the how to do the what is very important. But then beyond the what we're doing and how to do it is the why. Why are you doing that? Now, let me try to illustrate that. You know, you're little and you learn to floss and brush, okay? So you know what to do and maybe you learn how to, but if you don't know the why, you won't do it that much. Are you with me? And so when you're little, especially, I can remember some of our kids would be on vacation. It's like day five. And I go, have you brushed your teeth? No, I didn't bring my toothbrush. You know? And they know how and they know the what, but apparently the why has not occurred yet, you know? And so without the why, we can know how to do something, but it's not going to last because it won't have the value for us. And so not only must we learn how to, I think more importantly, we have to learn the why on this. It's probably the biggest word in the world is why. And why do we worship the Lord? Let's look in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. It says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Notice how that starts. You are worthy. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. "And they sang a new song saying," help me out, "you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for," or because, "you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." So let's start with why here. Let's start with why. Why should we worship the Lord? I'm hearing it. Because he's worthy. He's worthy. But is he worthy? Is that enough reason? Is that going to really catch on for you? Well, we worship the Lord because he's worthy. We have to go a whole nother layer of why. Why does the Bible say that he's worthy? And I'm just going to go ahead and give it to you here. Number one, it says because he's the creator. He's the creator. Come on, say it. He's the creator. He created everything. I was out in the yard yesterday morning, out there a lot with our dog, and I just like to get outside, especially in the morning, and you need to get some sun in your eyes and look around. And my wife is keenly tuned to the seasons, and so she keeps telling me, "Notice the buds that are coming out and this or that." So I'm out in the yard with my dog, throwing a tennis ball, and he'll do it 100 times if you'll let him, you know. But I'm looking up, and I'm just taking it all in, and it was so beautiful out, and I could see all the buds happening up in the trees, and all the birds and squirrels, and there's a cardinal family starting something in one of our hedges, and then my dog, and it was just out in creation. And I thought, good job, God. Now let's go to you. What have you done that's even close to that? You know? And he is the creator. He created all of this. How does he do this? You know, we talked about it during communion, that my help comes from the Lord who made, who created heaven and earth. I mean, he's pretty amazing. So just based on what he's done as a creator, he's worthy. I mean, we should come to full attention because he's the creator. And heaven right now is worshiping him and saying, "You're worthy. You're worthy to receive the glory and the honor and the power." Why? Because he created. He's the creator. Second reason that he's worthy is this: he's the redeemer. He's the redeemer. And so he redeemed us by his blood. Do you know what that actually meant? Means he paid our ransom. He rescued us. How many of you know that we were hopelessly stuck, lost, and in sin debt that we could never pay off? And out of the love of God, I hope you're hearing me today, out of the love of God, Jesus came. God so loved the world that he gave. He literally sent his only son, and Jesus went. And he came and shed his own blood to pay the price that we could not pay, so that our sins could be forgiven, we could be rescued from hell, and we could come into relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's a good reason. So if he never ever gave you another good parking spot in your life, or any other, all the favor and blessings in our life, I mean, he's the creator. That's reason enough. And he's the redeemer. He rescued your tail. I don't know if you can say that in church, but he did. Let's just get real about it. He rescued us. He saved us. He is worthy. Y'all, he's worthy. And I pray that every time you worship him, and especially when we come together, but then when you're by yourself, and we'll talk about ways you can do this by yourself, I pray this would be front of mind, that you would just be so aware that I'm not going to just stand here and sing a song in church. I'm going to worship God because he's worthy. And he's worthy because he's the creator, and he's worthy because he's my redeemer. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, there are many different ways to praise and worship. I'm just going to go through a list. I'll hardly comment on these, hopefully. Sing, it's one of my favorite. Do you know that you can clap your hands and honor the Lord in that way? Worship the Lord. The Bible says, clap your hands, all you people. And then it says this, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Even a shout can happen. You got to keep all that in context, though. Like, you know, I want to clap unto the Lord, and I want to shout unto the Lord. You know, just keep it in context. Because, I mean, what if you're catching a flight and you're standing in line about to board the plane? You decide, I'm going to worship the Lord before I get on this plane. And you start shouting and clapping. You're going to miss your flight. Okay? And so keep it in context, but know that that is one of the ways. Here's another one. You ready? You dance before the Lord. Read scripture. Give. Pray. Play instruments. Kneel, bow, lift your hands, wave your hands, serve, help, music. I read something the other day. I think it was 11% or it might have been 17%. You're spending, let's just go 11, let's go low side on it. You're spending 11% longer in your cars now than you were just a year or two ago because of traffic. Well, what are you doing in there? There might be something better to do. There might be something better to listen to. We are news fiends, and you need less. You need less, and you need more. Why don't you make your car, your truck, whatever you're, why don't you make it a little more of a sanctuary of worship to the Lord and get some peace in there and get God's presence and listen to something that's going to, you know, uplift you and that's going to honor the Lord. Just listening to good music, good worshipful music, and there's plenty of it for it. Christian radio and satellite radio and Netflix, not Netflix. What's it called? Spotify. There you go, Spotify. There you go. You can worship God with music. You can worship God alone. You can worship in small group, big group. And one of my favorites, too, is to declare or to ascribe the Lord who he is and what he's done. And so this is almost like his list of credits. This is almost like his resume. I think it's a good thing before you fall asleep at night is just to begin to declare who he is. God, thank you that today you were my provider and my guide and my protector and my redeemer. Thank you that you were patient with me and kind with me. And you helped me, and you fed me, and you led me, and you helped me in ways that I'm not even aware of. Just doing that, and let that roll, let that begin to roll, and let your heart and your mind work together on that. I believe that is also worship to the Lord. When we come together, our best group activity is singing, you know, music, using that all together, singing and music. Lift your voice, lift your eyes, lift your hands, lift your hearts to the Lord, and that's going to be way better than arms folded, looking down, looking around, checking your phone. It's just way better to go ahead and engage. Why should we worship? Because he's worthy. Because he's worthy. He's the creator. He's the redeemer. And he is worthy. He is worth the time, the attention, the energy. He's worth showing up, y'all. And that we worship the Lord in that way. Amen. Amen. Now, as we talk more about how to praise and how to worship the Lord, let's look in John chapter 4, verse 23 and verse 24. Jesus is speaking. He said, but the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now. It's here now. When true worshipers will worship the Father, help me, in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. What way? In spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit. So those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So God is worthy and we worship him. But one of the ways, I think these are foundational stones that we have to stand on as worshipers of the Lord, is we must worship him, first of all, worship in spirit. Worship in spirit. Come on, go ahead and say it with me. Worship in spirit. Now notice it said God is a spirit. So we have to worship him in spirit. Did you know you're a spirit? You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. And what it really is, it's from the heart. It's from the inside that we worship the Lord. The heart is the heart of true worship. Jesus said in Matthew 15, he said, and I'm paraphrasing, you can go through all the motions. You can sing all the words. You can even yada. You know, you can do all the stuff, but if your heart is far from me, can I rephrase that? If your focus is off, if you're not focused on this, he said, then it was all in vain. In essence, you wasted your time. There wasn't a real connection there. And so when we worship God in spirit, we're worshiping, our heart is in it. It's from the heart. It's sincere. It's genuine. The Message paraphrase says that you worship out of your very being. It is your heart and your soul engaged. And that's going to release passion and love and reverence for the Lord. It's from the heart. You mean it to the Lord. And we have to be very, very careful that we don't end up just, especially as regular church attenders, I'm being careful how I say this, that you don't just go through the motions. And we have to be careful in church world. You know, and judge no one. Judge no one. Only judge yourself. But you have to, sometimes you look at people and say, I don't think their heart's in it. I don't even think they're thinking about what they're doing. None of your business. You just make sure about you. You just make sure about you that it's from the heart. My sister, she comes to church. That's a good sign that my sister comes to hear her brother preach. Lets me be her pastor. But when we were little, I was her biggest problem. And I'm a few years older than her, but I can remember countless times my mom would make me apologize to my sister. Come on, how many of you had to apologize to your brother or sister, right? And so, you know, there were times where, apologize to your sister, tell her you're sorry. So I go, sorry. Guess what? My heart was not in it. So my mom would say, we're going to stay here till your heart's in it. I'm sorry. And we kind of worked on it. And then during first service, I told her, I said, Cindy, please, from my heart, I am so sorry. You know, but you know when it's from your heart and when it's not. And so make sure God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit. God is looking. He's just looking. Don't make this hard. He's just looking for somebody that out of their heart, they're worshiping God. So we worship God in spirit, and we also are to worship God in truth. In truth. Now, there's a lot to this. There's some layers in this. I just want to get some handles on it for us today. We worship God in truth when we have focus, when it's a conscious, intentional, informed effort. Listen, when you worship God, you need to worship him with something that actually glorifies him, something that pleases him. Well, how do I find that out? Well, it's in his word. We can be informed in his word. He loves it when we lift our hands to him. You know, yesterday, my daughter and son-in-law, worship leader, and two of my grandbabies came over to the house, and little Joe Jonas, he just turned 2. He came in and he saw me and he said his version of peepaw, that's what they call me, and then comes over to me like this. Okay, and on such an earthly level, my little grandbuddy reaching out toward me, do you know what that does? Are y'all cold, hard people? Do y'all know what I'm saying? Y'all are just looking at me like, I mean, that's just like day made right there, day made. And you know what? Our Heavenly Father, Jesus said this. He said, if you earthly fathers who are evil by comparison to your Heavenly Father, you know, and so our Heavenly Father loves it when you out of your heart and when you on purpose, you know, it's not just the worship leader or somebody said, you know, we're not statues, we're not robots. God is looking for those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. It's informed. And Scripture informs us. And also that we worship God, the one true God, as revealed in Scripture, that we're informed about who we're worshiping. And we've already talked about that, that he's the creator and the redeemer among other things. My point is this, that you actually should be thinking during worship. But your thinking should be focused on what I'm doing and why I'm doing it and who I'm doing it to. It is not a mindless, just emotional exercise that we go through. You should be very aware. And that's why words are on the screen, so that you can take those words and run them through this. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you actually should have heart-based worship, but you also should have, you ready, brain-based worship. That your brain that is so fearfully and wonderfully made, that when you run things through your speech centers and you declare how great God is, when you declare, we're very careful about the songs that we pick and the words that are there, that we're declaring those things. And when you run that through your system in that way, I'm telling you what, it's powerful unto the Lord and it's powerful, helpful for you as well. So sometimes you got to wake yourself up so that you make sure that you're praising and worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Remember, you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. And Jesus said this, worship the Lord your God with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your heart and with all your strength. That's with all that you are. Get all in. Worship in spirit, worship in truth, spirit, soul, body. Get yourself all in. Amen. Now, Psalm 100 gives us kind of a template, kind of a progression, if you will, that helps us to worship. What's another word that describes worship pretty good? Focus, focus. Class, focus. Okay, that we focus, and this helps us to do it. Psalm 100, all five verses. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know, there you go, that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now look at verse 4. Enter, come on, everybody say enter. I want in there. You want in there. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And enter, implied, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for or because the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. Now, a couple of things here, beginning with verse 4, and I'll read it to you again. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and implied, enter into his courts with praise, be thankful to him, bless his name, for or because the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. A couple of things here. First of all, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving. It said, enter his gates. Now, the model here is the temple, the Old Testament temple. And you've got to get in to start with. And how do you get in? You get in through the gate. And the way to enter the gate is thanksgiving. It's giving thanks. Psalm 100 verse 4 in the message says, enter with the password. Come on, let's read it all together. Enter with the password. Thank you. That's how you get in. That's what gets it started. So first of all, to thank the Lord. Thanksgiving gets you in the gate. Thanksgiving is about God and who he is and what he's done. And it is also to God. And then it says, and enter his courts. Once you've gotten into the gates, then you enter into his courts with praise. And there's numerous ways that we praise God. And again, that's to God and it's about God. Typically, not always, it's not a law that you do it that way, but thanksgiving leads to praise, praise leads to worship. And so we get into the gates through thanksgiving and we get into his courts with praise. A lot of times we even will set up the worship time where we're starting out with thanksgiving and we're starting out with praise. It's more about God and what he's done and how great he is. And then we want to get to a place where we're moving from all the horizontal, that we get to a place where we're singing to him and not just about him. You know, if we're going to honor him and tell him how worthy he is, let's don't just talk about him when he's in the room. Let's talk to him. Let's sing to him in the room. Amen. Thanksgiving, praise and worship. Psalm 136 says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." So the entrance begins, the focus begins with thanksgiving. We give God thanks. Why? The scripture just told us why we should give him thanks. And I just want to boil it down to the way the scripture boiled it down. And there are 9 other verses that say exact same words. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. There's our 2 big reasons, if we have no other reasons. The Lord is good. Has the Lord been good to you?
Yes.
No, I want to ask you again. Has the Lord been good to you?
Yes.
And you know what? That should be read, you know, that should just be ready on your lips all the time. Because, you know, so often people, how are you doing? Well, this happened and this happened and this is going on. I don't know. You know, and the balance of that is all this. Okay, this might be going on, but the Lord is good. And not necessarily that we have to tell everybody else that all the time. You need to know that. You need to be reminded. And you need to tell the Lord, too. The Lord is good. Come on, say it with me. The Lord is good. That needs to be the overwhelming headline in your life. We have so many other things as our headlines. Here's the headline, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And his mercy, what?
Endures forever.
Do you know what mercy really is? Mercy is kindness to those who don't have and don't deserve. And it implies, the word mercy itself in the Bible language, it implies that there is one who has it all, and there's one who does not have but needs. And the one who does not have but needs is not worthy or deserving. But the one who has, in their kindness, literally in the language, stoops down and reaches out to extend. And that's the mercy of God. That's the kindness of God. And not only is he kind, guess what? He's not fickle. So it's not like he's kind to you today, and then tomorrow he said, "You know, I've been thinking about this. All bets are off." No. I'm so thankful. Come on, y'all. I'm so thankful that his mercy, it keeps going and it keeps going and it keeps going. I'm so thankful for the goodness of God. I'm so thankful for the kindness of God. And the Bible says, let's give thanks to the Lord because he is good and his mercy endures forever. Can I get an amen today?
Amen.
And thanksgiving is the secret sauce. And don't make this hard. I think if you'll just have a heart of gratitude, if you'll just have a heart of gratitude and start to express that to the Lord, worship's going to be easy. That gets you in the gates. It gets you so aware and so focused on the goodness of God and all that he's doing, and it will take you all the way into his presence. So worship the Lord. Be a worshiper because he alone is worthy. He's worthy. Do you remember why he's worthy? Because he's the creator and he's the redeemer. And God is looking for worshipers. I'm going to be one. You're going to be one. And as worshipers, we're to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We're to worship from our hearts, but I think we're supposed to be thinking and focused about why and what and who all during that as well. Start with giving thanks because the Lord is good and his mercy, his kindness, it goes on forever. Amen. Did y'all get anything at all out of this today? I pray so.